Sports Day for Kia.
The all-new Kia Sorento has landed.
And the Bottle-O.
For your online liquor shopping, visit shopmylocal.com.au.
Welcome to Sports Day. Nice to have your company. 922-118-82 is our number tonight, and we have a couple of rounds of golf for two people at the Araluen Golf Course, and you get a golf cap just to keep the sun off your nose, and there's been plenty of that around the last couple of days, haven't they? Thanks to the WA Golf Foundation, growing the game better. 922-118-82. The teams are in. You've just heard them in the news, the changes. Polaris Off-Road Australia. Follow on Instagram today. Paul Hasleby, good evening to you.
Good evening, Carl. Yeah, clearly Dom Sheag didn't have a typical hamstring injury. He's back in after only missing 1 week. Good to see Luke Foley get an opportunity too. And we talk a lot about the Fremantle Dockers youngsters and how many are coming through. But the Eagles this year have debuted 8 new players. And here's another one, 188 centimetres, pick 31 in the national draft from Subiaco. Excited to see him play. And also the other ins there, Archie and Bailey Williams back in. And he's another one of those youngsters that has made his debut this year. Out goes McGovern, we know that, but Brander, O'Neill and Brayshaw. Now, what about Jared Brander, Carl? Do you feel that he is a player that the Eagles will continue to use next season? Because there'll be a few suitors. He did go to Geelong Grammar. He is from Victoria or Mildura originally, that would love to have a player of his kind, whether he's a forward or a backman. I personally think he'd be a better player in the back line, but he can't find a spot at the Eagles because of Waterman and Allen and Darling and Williams now into that forward line and down back. McGovern, Barras, Rotham, Edwards, all of those players are going to be around for a long time. Well, I just wonder whether there could be a deal done and maybe he might want to go home.
Well, he might want to go home, but look, it's been tough love at the West Coast Eagles. Darren Glass, I remember, as a skinny-faced, pimply kid, Darren, I'll see him in the passage probably at the final in a week or so's time, hey, so he might punch me. But it took him a while. It takes you a while, especially when you're a bigger bloke, to ply your craft. I think of Brad Shepherd. Now, it took Brad Shepherd a while as an early draft pick before he was able to earn his stripes in the team. I think of Liam Duggan, who was repeatedly the perennial sub, I reckon, Hayes, wasn't he? Yeah, and I reckon he was probably one of the record holders when it comes to wearing the sub's vest. You think of a bloke like Tom Cole, who's been in and out of the side, Jake Waterman, who's been in and out of the side. So, look, I know that he hasn't got a walk-up start into the team, but, mate, you've got to earn your spot. And I think that once you get your opportunity, you've got to keep your spot through performance. Now, has he been given enough opportunity, and this is where I'm throwing it back to you, has he been given enough opportunity to be able to prove himself and grasp it, or do you think he's been tossed around too much?
I think they invested a fair bit in him in the pre-season and the early part of the year. He was playing on the wing. I'm not convinced now that he is a wingman. I think he's probably better suited to the back line, and then he can also play as a forward, but you look at all those players and, you know, a lot of players across the competition that aren't getting a go, they're going to look forward and say, is there a spot? Yes, I'm young, I'm going to develop, but you still need opportunity, you still need to believe that there's a spot at that football club. So I'm fascinated to see what happens with that one. It's not looking good for Elliot Yeo, Carl, the osteitis pubis, and I played with that back in 2006. I wish I never played with it because it took away all my strength, all of my speed that I had, Carl. I didn't have much to start with, and I had through a lot of pain management to get through games, and in the end it was a disaster. And if he's not doing much by now, I don't think he's going to play. And it should be a bad choice, I reckon, to bring him in, particularly if he's underdone and doesn't have the power that you naturally need.
All right. I'd love to hear from you on 922-118-82. That's our talkback number tonight. And have your say when it comes to this particular issue. The other question that I'd like to throw to you, Hayes, tonight is the cricket is just getting underway too between Australia and England. The decider is handovers, Worsfold to Rutten. How have you seen the handovers? Not only this one, but we've had a couple of others as well. Ruse onto Longmire, and of course we had Ruse onto Goodwin.
Well, that one worked, didn't it? The ruse onto Longmire one. There's no question about that. The Goodwin one, I think we've still got a bit to play out with that. Of course, they were fantastic in 2018. But this one's been different, and I want to hear from the Essendon supporters tonight or whether you think it's been a good handover or did he stay too long, John Worsfold. He's a West Australian legend, and going back probably 6 weeks, Carl, I made some big comments about Fremantle going after John Worsfold. At that stage, I was yet to probably see from Justin Longmire a real style, but a lot has happened, hasn't it, in the last 6 weeks at Essendon. Things have gone pear-shaped at that club, and Fremantle under Longmire, all of a sudden some of those kids are starting to play well, and their game style is clear for everybody to see. So with the COVID cuts that are coming and the soft cap that we're going to see next year, I'm not sure it's a good option now for the Fremantle Dockers to go after somebody like Worsfold, particularly if it squeezes somebody out. Justin now, to me, has earned the spot or earned his right to probably select a few of his assistants, and no doubt Josh Carr's a big part of that, and maybe the younger assistant coaching panel has worked for Justin Longmire and the Fremantle Dockers. But one thing it has done, I think it's helped Ben Rutten this year, because it hasn't been a great year. I think Ben Rutten has coached this year. I don't think John Worsfold has done much coaching, but he's fronted the media at the end of every game, and Essendon supporters are frustrated with that and maybe frustrated at some of the comments that he's made recently. But I think if anything it's done, it's protected Ben Rutten, that we're not here saying that Ben Rutten can't coach. I think next year he gets a chance to do what Longmire has done and get all of his assistant coaches right. They've moved on Mark Harvey. They've made some changes in the midfield there, and they start afresh next year. And he won't be under as much pressure, I believe, because of Worsfold. But I'd be interested to hear how people see this. Has it worked for you, and what's next for John Worsfold?
Yeah, I suppose that we can include in the conversation here the Malthouse to Buckley transition, because that pretty much was another transition that we include in the conversation. Look, I've been of this opinion even when you raised the prospect of John Worsfold going down to Fremantle in the past. I was never of the view that he'd be going there. So that's my stance on that. I don't think that was something, even though you asked me at the time, would he be good for Freo? I thought, yeah, he probably would be because of his experience. He's a Fremantle boy. It's something he's passionate about. I know John Worsfold as a person, and I respect him for what he's been able to achieve in the game. As for him spending too long at Essendon, well, look, he took over in very difficult circumstances. They obviously thought that they were ready to go now, Hayes, with what they had recruited into their team. And if you think of a few of the blokes that they've got in, like Smith and Scheel and Saad, they were of the view that they were ready for the window to open, I reckon, because of the opportunity that they gave up to recruit young blokes to go for some tried and tested talented players. Now, you can't say that group of players I just mentioned aren't talented players. I reckon they would have hoped that Joe Danaher would have been up and about at the start of the year. Sadly, he hasn't been. They've also been hit with their fair share of injuries too throughout the course of the season. Dyson Heppel there, for example, skipper, hadn't been playing for a large part of the year, and they've lost a few blokes at the back end that has really hindered their chances of making finals. So he's had a rough time of it at the end. Did I think they'd play finals this year? Yes, I did. They haven't achieved that, but for all of those reasons that I've just mentioned, I reckon it's been pretty tough. But, you know, we've had other clubs, I suppose, that have risen above it. I mean, it's really interesting, though, and I've said this before and I'll say it again. You need a little bit of luck in this game, and three of the teams that haven't been hit by that many injuries are sitting right up the top in the top four, and two that have been unaffected the most are the top two teams right now, Port Adelaide and Brisbane, mate. So it says a lot, I reckon. 9221882, love you to join the conversation for Polaris, our hot topic, handovers, and Brander, if you'd like to throw him into the melting pot here. Polaris has sold over 75,000 off-road vehicles in Australia. Now, the WA Golf Foundation, who are growing the game together, visit wagf.org.au for more information. Giving away to you, our best caller of the night, a round of golf for two people at the Araluen Golf Course, and you'll also get a golf cap. Now, after the break, we'll come back. Before we get into your calls, we'll have a chat to Sean Ryan. He's been involved in the umpiring in the AFL for a long time. He's an 8-time AFL Grand Final umpire, and we'll have a chat about him after this, who has chosen to walk away at the end of the season.
Sports Day for Kia.
Your new Kia Sorento has landed. And the Bottle-O. For your online liquor shopping, visit shopmylocal.com.au.
Welcome back to Sports Day. 922-11882 is our number. It's nice to have your company, and you can join us at any time. 922-11882 is that number. And if you would like to put yourself in the running for our major prize tonight, which is a trip. Well, it's out to Araluen Golf Course. You can play yourself a couple of rounds of golf out there. Paul Hazelby, Shawnee Ryan's had a wonderful career, hasn't he?
He certainly has, and we welcome him into the show. How are you going, Sean?
Going well, boys. Thanks for having me.
And the big news today is that you'll be retiring from the umpiring duties. How do you feel about it? Must be a sad day.
Yeah, it is, but I think when you get to retire on your own terms and your own choice, it's generally a good day as well. So, yeah, chance to reflect and all those things, but certainly there's touch of sadness as part of the emotions as well.
Over 300 games, 8 grand finals that you have done. Does this preclude you from doing the grand final this year, or are you still in the running?
No, still in the running. So they sort of announced a bit of a finals panel last night. So I'm in that. We'll still try and finish the season as strong as possible. Where that ends up is anybody's guess, but I'll be, doing my best.
We've spoken a lot this year about the sacrifice of the players to get the season underway, but the umpires, they've been through a lot as well. They've been in those hubs too. They deserve a lot of credit for playing their part.
Yeah, thanks for that. I mean, most of the guys, as you know, work full-time as well, so a lot have taken leave without pay, and others are on a bit reduced sort of duties, and some are working remotely. So, yeah, like the players, everyone's had to make a lot of sacrifices, and we're not immune from that as well.
Mate, you've been around for years and you've seen so much change, and I suppose what I would really like to know, as a bloke who started off as a young fella and now you're going to leave like most of us, a little bit older and wiser, how much more difficult has it been for you? And particularly with, there's probably been a lot more constant change, even if it's just little tinkerings to interpretations of rules during your time?
Yeah, it's a good question. One I get asked a bit, but it's been a lot of change from starting from, I suppose, the media scrutiny from, when I started 17, 18 years ago. You know, the games were obviously televised and all that, but there was a lot less media scrutiny. Now there's so many journalists and so many reporters all looking for a story and an angle, so there's a lot of that. And then, yeah, obviously the game as well, they've just continual tinkering with the rules. And, they've got a lot of thought into those rules, but it obviously means that every rule they bring in makes our task a little bit more difficult generally. And then those rules are dealing with the congestion largely. And so that's the other thing that's really become, made it a hell of a lot more difficult is the number of players around the ball, and you're trying to see holding the balls and in the backs and two highs and all those types of things through, 20 players. So, there's been a lot of change over that journey. And, I certainly agree with you that it's a game that's far more difficult to adjudicate now than it was sort of 17 years ago.
Have you got a view on how you might be able to fix that and make it a little bit easier for you guys? Because, you're the blokes that cop it. People are unhappy across the fence. We get them ringing us all the time.
Look, it depends where you come from, what perspective. I mean, I get that, but also,
they're all one-eyed.
Yeah, the other thing is, I come from the view, to be honest, that what makes our game great is spectator involvement. And it's actually the ambiguity of the rule that enables, 50,000 to scream one way and 50,000 to scream another. And although there's a lot of talking on Mondays and Tuesdays, they're talking about AFL football. And I'm not sure there's a sport in the world like AFL football in terms of crowd involvement. And, those sports that do have just black and white rules, there's far less crowd involvement. I think that's really the beauty of our game. So, Yeah, there's obviously the continual debate in the media about how we make it better and easier and all those types of things. But, you know, the other school of thought is to embrace that sort of ambiguity and say that it's just a magnificent part of our game that allows spectators to allege they've been ripped off every game and gives them something to talk about on a Monday.
So you're missing them? 38 finals, so you're about to embark on another finals campaign, but you're missing the fans by the sounds of it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, that I think that that's one thing that's really come out of this year, that our game is far less attractive without the crowds, because I think they take the players to another level, and they just give such an amazing environment to the spectacle. And so I think everyone's waiting for the crowds to get back, because not only is it great for spectators to be there, but I think it's great for the game, it's great for the players, and yeah, I think it's great for us, because a great spectacle's always good to umpire.
Now, mate, you're a barrister outside of being an AFL umpire. How has your other work life been affected by this, mate?
Yeah, it's been affected a bit. I've been a little lucky, because I went to Sydney initially, and I told the AFL I could only sort of give them 3 weeks, and then I had some trials that were booked in, and then COVID hit in Melbourne and the courts shut down and most of those went online. So I've actually been running a number of court trials in apartments on the Gold Coast in Sydney via WebEx and Zoom. So that's been interesting, but it's meant that I've been able to continue on for the rest of the season. So in one respect, it's been helpful.
Mate, you've been a bloke that's, sorry, Hayes, one more. You've been a bloke that's been involved for a long, long time, since 2003, and you've got a lot of experience, and you've been more successful than most that have gone out and done what you've done in this caper. Do you see yourself getting involved in some way, shape or form into the future, or not? Are you just going to walk away and get on with the next phase of your life?
Yeah, I haven't thought too much about it. It's a good question. I never say never to opportunities. So I'm sure if the AFL wanted me involved, and we'd sit down and chat about it and see if we could work something out. So I suppose, like everyone, you want to know that you can add value. So if they think that I can add some value to the organisation, then, yeah, I'd certainly be open to chatting to them about how that looks.
You have retired before too, and you made a comeback, so who knows, it could happen again. You could be like a boxer, just you want the money coming out of retirement. But just going back to the interpretation, and I feel for the umpires this year, there's two rules that have frustrated me and many fans out there: the interpretation of holding the ball and the deliberate out of bounds. Clearly it is different from what we started with. Then there was a period of time where both we were really red hot on, and then it's gone back to where it was. Is that frustrating from an umpire's perspective?
I mean, look, we'd like to be consistent, really. And I think your observations, I'm not going to argue with a lot of that. I think that we started off, and I think really it's only around largely one aspect of holding the ball, and that's when the player hasn't had a prior opportunity and he goes to ground with the ball and elects not to do much with the ball. So he's not making an attempt to get the ball out. And so what the rule says is, even if you've had no prior opportunity, once you've been tackled, you must make a genuine attempt to move the ball on. And so I think what we identified after about 3 or 4 rounds is that that was an area where players were going to ground to try and force a stoppage, and we were just letting them do that, and we weren't sort of being as strict as we ought to have been on that part of it. Now, probably what flowed for a few weeks after that is we overcorrected, and all of a sudden we were pinging some guys who genuinely just could not move that ball on. So, you know, you'd like to think now that we've settled in a bit better place. So I'm not going to disagree with your observations. I think we started off maybe being a bit lenient, then we overcorrected a little bit, and then hopefully we're somewhere in the middle now, which is probably the correct interpretation.
What about the goal review system? Are you a fan of this arc that is used, and we're seeing it more and more in every game?
Yeah, I don't see why not. I mean, if we've got technology that can assist with ascertaining scores, well, why not use it? And I think, you know, over the years there's been some errors with that, but could you imagine not having the system? There'd be a hell of a lot more errors. So I think the system's useful, means that we can identify errors and we can correct the score. I think everyone I think we just need to accept that from time to time there is going to be one that they get wrong. But, you know, in the process, they might be correcting 20 or 30 that otherwise would have gone through to the keeper.
We do hope that you're there on grand final day, but we've had a few comments on this show about some umpires who the callers think should be there on grand final day. Have you got your thoughts? Who have been some of the better umpires that would be in the mix for grand final day?
It's a good question. Look, to give you names, I don't think it'd be fair because I'm one that does my game and I don't watch a hell of a lot of footy outside of that. So, look, they announced the finals panel. There's some of your usual suspects, you know, Matty Stevic, Ray Chamberlain, myself, Freddie Rosebery. But then there's a lot of younger guys that are in that panel as well now, that some that have just starting to emerge who have done a few finals and some others that are doing their first finals. So, I wouldn't know exactly who's right up there in terms of, you know, the top three or four, but there's certainly some young guys who are emerging now. And, yeah, I look forward to when I hang up the whistle to see them bank some grand finals in the next few years.
All right, I'll allow you to sit on the fence with that one, but yeah. Not this one, okay? Best player that you've umpired across your career?
Yeah, God, I hate this question because it's such a tough one. And look, to be honest, I've been asked it a few times, so I probably should settle with my answer, even though it's pretty easy to flip-flop. But the guy who, that just every time I umpired him, just seemed to turn it on back in the day was James Hird. And, you know, I think I did a couple of games where he'd come back from, you know, 15 weeks off and he was best on ground first game back. And, yeah, he was a guy that I just thought nearly most times I umpired him, he just seemed to just have an absolute blinder. So in terms of games that I did, he was one that was just incredible.
Perfect, mate. Thank you very much for chatting to us tonight. Congratulations.
Paul Hazelby was okay as well.
Hey, I was waiting for that. Mate, come on, you don't have to do
mate,
that.
You don't have to do that. Mate, he couldn't jump off the ground. You can jump higher. I've seen you. I've seen you jump over balls and get out of the rows. And you know what? You lasted a lot longer.
I had to throw that in.
Very good stuff.
Good
thank
on you,
mate. Good on you. Nice to chat. And good luck. And whatever pans out, mate, if you get another grand final, mate, that'd be great to go out on. Thanks very much for your time tonight.
Appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
Brilliant. Nice to have a chat to one of the blokes that are out there copping it from you across the fence. 922-1882. We'd love you to join in next. The two rounds of golf is available to you out there at Araluen, plus the golf cap, and we'll get into the calls after this.
For Kia, your new Kia Sorento has landed, and the Bottle-O. For your online liquor shopping, visit shopmylocal.com.au.
All right, plenty of your calls, and 922-1882 is the number between now and 7 o'clock. Anything you'd like to talk about as we head into the final round of AFL action, things we've raised tonight, and you can do that right now as we go to Joe in Thornley. G'day, Joe.
Hi, guys. Look, great show. Looking forward to tonight's final one-day match between Australia and England. Just looking at Australian batting lineup, I've got a lot of concerns. As we all know, and without Stephen Smith, you can really see that what they're lacking. But one player that I felt, although he's quite old at the moment, that has really gone under the radar in terms of his one-day form, was Sean Marsh, and I think he could have definitely filled that stabilizing factor in the middle order. And unfortunately, I think while his playing days, international playing days, might be over. The last three or four years, his form has been very consistent. I want to know your thoughts.
No, I wouldn't have him in the squad. I think his time is up. He's been a wonderful player. He probably hasn't taken all of his chances at international level. We know he's a fantastic domestic player, but I think there's so much depth coming through the Australian team. Labuschagne, Smith through the middle order as well. His brother Mitch, of course, coming back into the side and doing really well. I don't think he can continue to go with those older players if they're not absolutely the top of their game. If he's only averaging 36, 37, I think sometimes it's better off to give an opportunity to somebody else who can come through and do at least that, and hopefully a lot more, because as they get settled, they can build a really big career.
He did average 48 in the last three or four years, just to let you know.
Good call. Carl, your thoughts?
Oh, I'm, you know, like in the end, it's in some circumstances pretty fickle cricket. You only have to reflect back to 2 days. I mean, I had an argument with a bloke. I can't remember his name. I probably should, but I wiped that out of my mind because it was just it wasted probably 2 or 3 minutes of my breath on the program, where he said that it was the back end of the English innings that was the difference. Well, it wasn't, because we were 2 for 144 and we were all out for 232. And if the bloke's listening, that's 8 for 63 we lost. 8 for 63. The bowlers did their job. Hazelwood took 3 for 26 off 10 overs. The bowlers did their job. The batters in the middle order failed. And two of the blokes that failed were the two blokes that were the stars in the first game. They made, I think, 100 partnership and both made 70-odd. And I'm talking about Maxwell and Marsh. And guess what? In game two, they made one each. You know, so, I mean, that's how fickle cricket can be. And, you know, with Steve Smith, who had been out of the side, he hasn't had any impact really on the series at the moment in the one-day series. And at Old Trafford tonight, we'll keep you up to date because that match is underway. So we'll keep you up to date with that as it evolves. Hayes, do we have anyone else online?
No, we don't. No other callers at the moment, so call in. But just some other news getting around. Dan Hanbury likely to return. He's been out injured for a long part of the season at St Kilda. He would make a big difference to their team, I reckon, with his experience and his run on the outside. We talked a lot about the Giants last night, Carl, and who would recommit to that club. And you mentioned Jeremy Finlayson, and certainly clubs thought that he was gettable. Well, today he has penned a new contract, signed on until the year 2023. So a player that's been out of the team. And it probably shows you a bit of the landscape and how easy it is for players to get long-term contracts, that you have a player that has been dropped and in the same year he gets re-signed. And maybe that is because of Jeremy Cameron, that they think that he might be out the gate, that they need to keep in a player like Finlayson, who doesn't miss out. He always kicks a goal a game, but he hasn't been as good this season. And just some other whispers, and we spoke about the Bombers off the top, Joe Danaher, but Adam Saad, and going back probably 6 weeks, I spoke about him being maybe a target for the Fremantle Dockers, that I'd love to see him at the club. I think he's a player that would add value the way he bounces out of defence. But there's a few Victorian clubs that think he is gettable. He hasn't signed yet, and he's at that ripe old age of around 26. I think he'd be a good target for any club to get their hands on. And the Bombers, they can't afford to lose him and Joe Danaher if that is the case.
Well, I mean, they probably can, to be honest. Because, I mean, when... Look, Joe Danaher hasn't played much footy, has he? And how reliable is he going to be? So it's a risky investment. If you have a look at, say, Patton, who has gone as an injury-prone player from GWS down to Hawthorn, unfortunately he's remained to be injury-prone. Look, I like Saad, but, mate, he makes some horrible errors. Sometimes he runs so fast he trips over himself. And he doesn't always use the ball as well as probably what he could. I don't rate him as highly maybe as what some other people do. Are they crucial to the future of Essendon? My argument would be probably not.
I think if they believe they're in the window right now, whether they're going to go back and, you know,
well, for,
and start
again. Well, so let me throw you this. So if Jeremy Cameron decides to head back to Melbourne and Joe Danaher decides to head up to Sydney, which is where it was speculated that he was looking at earlier on this season, that's not a bad deal, is it, really? There's plenty of other big-name players that are out of contract. We've seen more and more big players, and when I talk about some of those big players, you know, blokes that were, you know, if you're Zach Williams, for example, is he yet to recommit up there at GWS? Does Zach Williams slot into the Adam Saad role? Could he perform that? He probably can.
Just I think he's a star, out. Williams. I think he's a midfielder, and he hasn't had that opportunity to play that position consistently at the Giants because of how many stars they have going through that part of the ground. So, absolutely, if a club can get their hands on him. And I think North Melbourne is one that is into him. Of course, Aidan Corr, the other one that left the Giants yesterday. It is reported that he'll end up at North Melbourne as well. So they've started quite aggressively, the North Melbourne Football Club. But I think Zach Williams is an equal player, if not better, higher potential than that of Adam Saad. Good point.
All right, so let's clear a commitment, because on the other side, we've got to get inside the Western Bulldogs. Ed Richards is going to join us here on Sports Day. Welcome back to Sports Day. Giant Bicycles, we're still riding with you. Nice to have Ed Richards from the Western Bulldogs on the program. Welcome, mate.
Thanks, boys. Thanks for having me.
Now, you've changed roles. I've been watching. You've been up forward early in your career, and now I see you've been swung around down the other end. How have you been finding that?
I've been somewhat of a utility sort of this year, moving around every which way. I've probably started more as a defender, got drafted as a defender. I've been playing a bit more forward this year, went back for a couple games as well. So I think it's sort of been good for myself and my growth to have a bit of flexibility in my game throughout the year.
Big retirement, obviously, with Cade Simpson, and it's interesting to see in his first few games, he hardly got any touches. But how long does it take for young guys coming into the system? It seems like sometimes it takes a bit longer, and we're a bit impatient sometimes, and you've now played, obviously, 40-plus games. Are you starting to feel comfortable at the level?
I think it sort of comes in waves. I've found just with, you know, being comfortable some games, and then some games you might, you know, find you're not really getting near it, or you feel sort of out of it, because it is the highest level of our game. So just with consistency, that's probably one of the hardest parts of playing. And I think, you know, blokes like Jack McRae this year has shown that he's, you know, one of the premier players in the competition purely because he's so consistent. And just having that on our side is really good. So just makes it, you know, that sort of incentive to strive for consistency to become one of those premier players, I guess.
He was my next question, Jack McRae. Is it work rate for him, or is it positioning and smart? Because it fascinates me how he just continues to find the footy. It doesn't look like to me that he runs super far or fast. He just gets into good positions.
Yeah, I'll tell you, mate, it's not work rate. It's definitely all smart. He's one of the more unathletic people that I've met in the industry, and he just seems to be so strong over the footy and find himself in such good spots to use it as well. So, I'd say he's probably one of the smartest footballers out going around at the moment.
Marcus Bontempelli, he's pretty smart too. Who would you like the ball in their hands kicking to you? Is it Bontempelli or is it Caleb Daniel? Because some of the stuff that he's been doing in the back half this year, for mine, he deserves All-Australian, because he makes things happen with the way that he just shifts the ball and goes on a different angle.
Yeah, well, they're both probably, you know, such great ball users. It's a hard choice. But I think, yeah, definitely Caleb has had such an amazing year. He's been the architect of our ball movement for basically the whole year. So just being able to have him use the ball down there has been great for us, being able to move the ball from our back end to our forward line.
It's been unbelievable, mate. I mean, he is a diminutive stature in the game. He's the smallest bloke out there, yet he takes multiple marks. He took 11 last game. I mean, that's just an example. He was the best marking player in your team. It's unbelievable how he's just able to find it, because he reads it so well. Good to see Libber up and about and playing some good footy too, mate. We've always known that he loves getting his hands dirty. He works so hard on the inside for you guys, but he's been able to accumulate a lot more of the ball too, and he's just starting to hit his straps at the right time.
Yeah, he's been great for us this year. We sort of missed him a bit last year with a bit of grunt inside, especially in that sort of elimination final we had last year where we got sort of beaten up a bit. So he's been great for us to come back inside, provide that that grunt inside, and just be, you know, real hard player that allows for, you know, Bont and Jacko to get on the outside and use the ball.
Yeah, I tell you what, another bloke who's just like a duck to water, isn't he? Only second season, Bailey Smith. He's got the mullet to go with it. You've got a bit of a mullet competition going on at your club. Sadly, you've lost Toby McLean. His season is over. That was the great sadness out of the weekend.
Yeah.
And another bloke who I want you to throw a couple of coins at too is Mitchie Wallace up forward, mate. I mean, he's almost been as productive as the best small forwards in the game, if not as productive.
Yeah, he's been great for us. He's a big boy, Mitchie Wallace. So I don't know if you'd like you calling him a small forward. he's very strong. And he shows that most weeks by being able to, you know, come up against any sort of opposition that he's that he plays on, whether that be their, you know, their biggest keys or their smallest blokes, which makes him so versatile and which is why he's probably been so dangerous this year.
What about the back line, mate, the defensive group? We know there's some really good smaller players. Crozier's been playing well, Johannesson, Williams as well, and we mentioned the little fella. But what about Cordy, Keith and Garter? Do you think those players can stand up when you're talking about this week? It's Hogan, Lobb and Tabernard that have been in pretty good form for the Fremantle Dockers. But as you go towards finals and play against some of the better teams, that's the question mark for me.
Yeah, I think those boys have done a tremendous job this year, being able to deal with a lot of criticism, I think, especially probably Gardy and maybe Zane as well. Just being able to, you know, front up week to week and just play their role for the team, which really is just defending those big blokes. And I think Keithy's done a tremendous job in his first year at the club, coming in, cementing himself as our probably our biggest fullback, and just the way he reads the ball has been great to see. Come up against, you know, some, you know, good inform forwards as well. So just his ability to, I guess, win or halve contests as well as get involved in our ball movement has been great, and that's probably, you know, why we sort of picked him up in the trade period last year. Just that ability to, yeah, be a competitor down there, and hopefully going forward they can, you know, gel together and be really strong, those three bigger fellas.
You win, you're in. You lose, you're possibly out, depending on other results, but you don't want to be relying on them. You want to rely on what you blokes can do best. So your first elimination final starts this week.
Yes. Should be a good hitter. They've been playing good footy for the last couple of weeks, so we've just got to rely on what we've been doing against the last 2 weeks as well, and just see what we can do with the form that we've been playing in.
And just before I let you go, mate, given that you have had such a good bloodline, a bloke who I rubbed shoulders with in Lou Richards for a long, long time, mate, when I started my career going back in the 80s. He was a legend of a bloke. What's it like just having, you know, the bloodline in your family that has now gotten you the opportunity that we've all had?
Yeah, it's obviously, I'm very privileged to be part of the Richards family. I think there's been obviously Lou and my grandfather Ron, both played a substantial amount of games, I think, which is great for our family, and we, you know, we're very proud of that, which is a good thing. It's just a pity it's for the wrong colours. The black and the white, not the red, white and blue. It's obviously very proud of it to be sort of part of the Richards family.
Good on you, mate. Thank you very much for having a chat to us tonight, and good luck as you take on Freo this week, and if you're part of finals, mate, thanks for your time.
Awesome. Nice. Thanks, guys.
Ed Richards, nice bloke here on Sports Day, and they'll be hoping for a giant performance of the day, making all those Freo fans who are tuned in right now sad for Giant Bicycles. We're still riding with you, but their season will continue. We're not too far away from playing Beat the Boys. I've got a tip. It'll be an interesting weekend for the tipsters, so stay tuned for the cue to call here on Sports
Day. Sports Day for Kia. The all-new Kia Sorento has landed, and the Bottle-O. For your online liquor shopping, visit shopmylocal.com.au.
Hope you're enjoying the program. Now, after we clear a commitment here, we are going to get into Beat the Boys, and I got rolled. Can you believe it? I was so confident. Mark last week destroyed me. So we've got a couple of cartons of Gage Rhodes to give away. Again, a carton of Albion, a carton of Single Fin, and we've also got the Beanie. 9221882 will take caller number 17, and you'll be taking on Paul Hazelby for this round of footy. We might even try and kick it on during the finals. We'll see how we go. But tonight you'll be taking on Paul Hazelby for your chance to win. The news is next.
Sports Day for Kia.
The all-new Kia Sorento has landed. And the Bottle-O. For your online liquor shopping, visit shopmylocal.com.au.
Welcome back to Sports Day. Beat the boys time for Gage Rhodes. You can win a carton of Albion, a carton of Single Fin and a beanie like Mark did by beating me last week. And we'll introduce our caller who's got through to take on Paul Hazelby in a moment. So intriguing it is to finish the season. The top four's not decided. Still Richmond, Geelong, West Coast can finish in that spot depending on victories. Collingwood, St Kilda, the Western Bulldogs, Melbourne, even GWS, who would need to, probably mathematically they can't, they'd need to flog their opponents who they take on this weekend, St Kilda, to actually have any chance of actually climbing in. They need to win by 100 plus points to actually climb inside the top eight, you'd think. That is assuming that the Western Bulldogs and St Kilda lost the games that they play. And of course the Saints are taking on Western Bulldogs and Melbourne, because the Saints take on GWS. Paul Hazelby, it's a fascinating final round of footy, really, isn't it?
It is. Can't wait for it. We saw it in the Waffle, and we're going to get the same thing in the AFL. That's how it should be. And, of course, only playing the 17 rounds certainly makes a difference. But we've got our player tonight. His name is Wayne from Vic Park. How are you, Wayne?
Good, thanks, Paul. How are you?
Going very well, mate. Who do you support, Wayne?
The Mighty Freo.
Mighty Freo. Ah, nice to hear. And you been going okay in your tipping?
Yeah, not too bad.
Would you get John Worsfold back to the club next year?
Oh, I'm not sure about that one.
Yeah, all right. Well, let's get into it. Carl, we've got our first game. It's North Melbourne tomorrow night, Metricon Stadium, taking on the West Coast Eagles. They are still a chance, the West Coast Eagles, to finish inside the top four. They need to win and rely on either Geelong or Richmond to lose, which I don't think will happen. But who do you like, Carl? We'll start with you.
Well, I was just going to, before we move on to that, hey, Wayne, you think back, not only the Carlton game where it was an after the siren goal, 6 points against Essendon, 12 points against Brisbane, going back to the start of the season, and in round four it was Freo, 13 points, losing to the Gold Coast. Mate, things could be very different than what they are right now, couldn't they, really?
Yeah, I think the Carlton game was probably the one that cost us. Those couple of little errors there, we would have been right in there.
Yeah, well, two more would probably need to be in it, given the percentage right now at 96.7. But anyway, let's jump into it. Look, tomorrow night we've got the teams. There's been a few changes at the West Coast Eagles, three changes in total for those of you that have just tuned into Sports Day tonight. Well, yeah, okay. Well, there's been four changes to the West Coast Eagles. Williams, Archie, Sheed and Foley to make his debut. Luke Foley, Hamish Brayshaw, Jared Brander, Jeremy McGovern and Xavier O'Neill go out. We already knew that McGovern was going to be missing, and I was surprised that Xavier O'Neill and Hayes, you were surprised that Jared Brander had been left out. Sam Duerden, Tom Murphy come in for North Melbourne. Aidan Boner and Mason Wood, who's been omitted. He's a bloke that's always promised a fair bit that hasn't delivered. A little bit like Brander, to be honest. He's a little bit older than Brander, though. But, look, just having a quick look at this game and the way that North Melbourne have been going, they've been bitterly disappointing. I expected a hell of a lot more, being an old North Melbourne supporter. Wayne grew up as a kid barracking for North Melbourne, thought that they were on the right track, like Carlton, probably, at the end of last season with what they played with. They played with a lot more spirit. Look, they have been one of those teams that have been massively impacted by injuries, certainly a lot more than most of the teams this season. A lot of their very best players, for example, Cunnington hasn't been there for a long time. I think that if West Coast get out and do what they've been doing in the last couple of weeks, they'll be winning this game. So for me, Hayes, I'm going to kick it off with the West Coast Eagles to be winning, and you're here at live here on 6PR tomorrow night. What about you?
Yep, I'm with the West Coast Eagles. They should win comfortably. North Melbourne have been belted in recent times. And there's big change, I believe, coming at North Melbourne. Some big-name players, Jared Pollock, Ben Brown. We wait to see what happens with him. He's been injured this year. But I think there's going to be a few on the move and a big clean-out. But the West Coast Eagles will keep their top four chances alive with a nice win.
Right about you, Wayne, being a Dockers supporter, can you tip West Coast?
Yeah, sure. No, I think West Coast will win easy.
Righto, St Kilda and the Giants. Look, I'm predicting for me, Hayes, the Giants, they need to be able to show that they've got some fight. They bowed out meekly in last year's grand final. They are going to bow out meekly here if they don't beat St Kilda. They can win this game and take St Kilda with them effectively if a couple of the other teams that are in and around the place, like the Western Bulldogs and Melbourne, get victories. So this is their chance to make a little statement as they head into 2021, because they can't, I don't think, even if they have a big victory over the Saints, they won't be playing finals, Hayes.
No, I don't think they will be. They've had their chance to make statements. They haven't done that. I think the only thing that might save them is, without the pressure on, they might just play a free-flowing style of play and just open the game up, and that could get them a result. But I'm going to go with the Saints. I think they were pretty good in part last week, particularly getting opportunities inside their front half. They just couldn't put it on the scoreboard, particularly early, and I'm going to give them one more chance. But they, like the Giants, on the big stage, they normally don't handle it, but I think Brett Ratten will get them primed for this one, and they'll charge into the finals.
Wayne?
Yeah. No, I'm going to go the Giants. I think the Giants will get the Saints this week.
All right. So you have come... go on.
Too much quality out there, I think.
Yeah, well, I've thought that for a while, but, mate, they're 5-5. Saints are 6-4, so they're not travelling much better, to be honest. Let's go to the Saturday games. The early game is Essendon and Melbourne. Now, this was the game that was basically postponed, essentially, when the season shut down after round one. It never got played, so they've had to pretty much toil all the way through. That was their bye, going right back to round two, Hayes, at Metricon Stadium. Look, Melbourne have got plenty to play for. Essendon have got their issues. They were pretty ordinary in the last game that they played, and, you know, I'm thinking that Melbourne can get the job done, playing much better footy than they started at the start of the season.
Yep, they've been terrible. Last game for John Worsfold. Well done on the job that he has done at that club. He came in at a difficult time for them, and he's done a pretty good job, albeit this year hasn't worked out the way they would have hoped. But I think Melbourne, too much to play for.
Wayne?
Yeah, no, I'm going to go Melbourne. I think Melbourne will get the money.
Okay. One of the informed sides in the competition right now is Adelaide. Can you believe it? They've won three on the trot. Three on the trot, but they take on the Tigers, who have just rolled a top four contender in Geelong, and they did it in style. They've got plenty of players playing well. They lose, though, Ivan Soldo, and they lose the big fella Tommy Lynch up forward as well. Now, what sort of impact is that going to have, Paul Hazelby? I'm going for the Tigers, but it'll be interesting to see what sort of impact that has as the Richmond Tigers head towards finals.
Yeah, well done to Adelaide and Matthew Nix. They turned it around, and we were all talking about them being the worst club in the history of the game, and they got three in a row to finish the season. But the Tigers still playing for top four. They'll win by 30 points.
Wayne?
Yeah, Tigers for me.
All right. Brisbane, chance to finish on top. If they win this game, they and Port Adelaide are the only two teams that can finish as the minor premier. They'll be gunning for that. They take on Carlton. Carlton have been a little bit indifferent, 4-6 in their last 10 games, and probably been a little bit disappointing, some would say, given the way that they've finished. Paddy Cripps has not reached anywhere near the heights of last season, and I'm going to stick with Brizzy at the Gabba. Their home ground, they should be winning this, Hayes.
Yeah, they're building Brisbane. They're going to get a great run, two games at the Gabba and then the grand final. So they got everything in their favour to win the premiership, and they'll beat Carlton, who have been a little bit disappointing the last couple of weeks.
Wayne?
Yeah, Brisbane for me. Brisbane Sam will be pretty good this year.
Yeah, Sam Doherty goes out too at the Blues, and it's been great to see him back, but he's out for this game, and let's hope he's ready to go next year. This game means nothing other than pride. Hawthorn and Gold Coast, and Gold Coast really competitive against Collingwood last week. Hawthorn have probably been disappointing. They'll be appreciating being down the bottom of the table for once to try and get some early draft picks. So Gold Coast Suns have got a few of those recently, so I'm going for the Suns. At the Adelaide Oval, Hayes, played on neutral territory.
Yeah, look, I want to go with the Hawks here. I think they've got a couple
of
send-off
players. Well, go for them, mate. You're allowed to.
Yeah, I'm going with the Hawks. I think they did show a few starts back at Adelaide Oval. They could start well. They couldn't finish it on that occasion and lost the game. But Gold Coast, I think there's a few tired players there this year, albeit they were better last time out against Collingwood. Hawthorn for me.
Well, Stratton and Puopolo too, if they play, it'll be playing their last game.
Yep.
So maybe some emotion will carry them through. What do you reckon, Wayne?
Nah, we're going to stick with the Suns on this one.
Okay, the Gold Coast. So a couple different so far. Sydney Swans and Geelong. Swans, they have lost their last two. And, look, I know that Geelong got rolled against the Tigers, but they have, for the most part, been one of the benchmark sides of the competition. I saw one of the best games back earlier this year when they took on West Coast here at Optus Stadium. And that will be a game that I think will certainly be something that will carry Geelong a long way. So I don't see the Cats losing against Sydney, Hayes, do you?
No, I don't. They'll win easy. But I like what Sydney are doing. I think it's been a good year for them. They've had a lot of injuries to their stars. They get them all back, but they've exposed a number of young kids, and they've still had some really good moments this year, but they won't be winning this against the Cats.
Wayne?
Yeah, no, we'll go with the Cats.
Okay, last game on Sunday is Freo and the Western Bulldogs. Western Bulldogs, for me, I think if they bring their A-grade game, they can take it up to any of the top eight. They might be able to even do what they've done in previous years and fly all the way to the top, to be honest. Norton coming back in's given them a little bit of extra potency up forward. Timmy English is probably playing in career-best form, and they've got a pretty good midfield. Toby McLean, obviously, is the biggest disappointment for them. So, look, for me, the Western Bulldogs, and this will mean they guarantee finals for 2020, Hayes. What do you reckon?
No, I'm going to go with the Fremantle Dockers. They're the informed team of the competition outside the eight, and I reckon they'll be steeling themselves for this game to knock off a genuine contender. And I reckon had they made the finals, they could have done a little bit of damage with the style that they're adopting at the moment and the confidence. And I know Wayne is a Fremantle supporter, so over to you, Wayne.
Yeah, well, since you tipped them, I'll have to go the Dogs.
Hopefully that's not the deciding game and you're barracking for the Dogs.
It's funny though, isn't it? I mean, Freo got pounded two games ago against the Greater Western Sydney Giants by 38 points, and the Giants are going horrible, and Freo have improved to beat Melbourne, who would probably be in the finals and locked away a spot already, and then they smashed North Melbourne last week. So, yeah, we're not going to get carried away with what they did last week. So, Hayes, you've gone out on a limb there, I reckon. Last game on Monday is Collingwood and Port Adelaide. Massive, this game. Collingwood might actually be playing, if St Kilda and the Western Bulldogs win, for example, Collingwood are going to drop down the page to eighth spot, which means, guess what? They'll be heading over to Western Australia, assuming that West Coast is still in fifth to play the Eagles. Now, that could be a fairly daunting task, Paul Hazelby. And I've looked at this game a few times, and I've gone backwards and forwards. It's been the toss-up, the only toss-up game for me. And I've gone for Collingwood. Oh. I reckon Collingwood might get the job done here at the Gabba. So the Pies for me, Hayes. I like what I saw last week.
Yeah, they're getting their players back at the right time. They still don't have steel side bottom, but Degoe makes a big difference. And Mason Cox is in some good touch as well. Treloar too, but I'm going to go with Port Adelaide. Why would you go against them? They've won a lot of games, 13 games for the year. They sit on top, and I think they'll want to finish the season on a high and go out on top.
Righto, Wayne, what do you reckon?
Yeah, no, I'll go for Port. Port will beat Collingwood, no problem.
Beautiful, mate. Well, good luck. That's all we can say. And if you knock Hayes off, thanks to Gage Rhodes, a carton of Albie, carton of Single Fin, and a beanie could be yours, mate. Thanks for listening to Sports Day. Take care.
Good luck, Wayne.
Awesome. Thank you. Cheers, mate. Thank you.
All right. So there you go. Now, the cricket is not far away from getting underway. Australia and England. So that'll get underway as our program finishes tonight. Been looking feverishly as to whether Steve Smith has actually been named, because he was looking real shaky in the nets, and he was registered as doubtful after that net session. Hayes, let's get into our weekend preview for Novus, the weekend claim. Novus, show him your crack today.
Yeah, I'm heading to the races again, and a couple of weeks ago in this segment, I tipped this horse. I'm going to go again in the Rupert Clark Stakes, and I'm going number one, Behemoth, paying about $4. I think it can win its third race in a row. It's a star. It came across from Adelaide. Superstorm's in that race, and I think Superstorm can run a big race and certainly be in the money. But I'm going with Behemoth to take it out.
Behemoth to take it out. Well, after my tips, right, and that I've given tonight, I am going for the AFL ladder to not change. I think that even though Melbourne might be good enough, well, so if GWS win And even though Melbourne might win, I'm not sure that they can get the percentage they need to actually jump over the top of St Kilda. And I think the Western Bulldogs are going to beat Freo. So my weekend claim is the 8, as it is right now, with St Kilda and the Western Bulldogs in there, won't change, Hayes. It won't change. So we'll keep an eye
boring
on that after
boo,
the weekend.
Boo.
Hey, why is that a boo?
Oh, because we want a bit of excitement, a bit of, like East Perth. They're in. They're out, well, Perth.
That might happen. We're going to go out. Todd Curley next.
Welcome back to Sports Day, and it is nice now to catch up with the South Fremantle coach in Todd Curley. Only beaten in the last game of the season by Perth, who are into their first finals campaign in 23 years. And I suppose, Todd, the emotions for you weren't anything near like they were for the Perth contingent because, mate, they just reacted unbelievably. It looked like they'd won the grand final.
Yeah, certainly. Look, that last 5 or 6 minutes was... their supporters were pretty loud, and obviously once the siren went and they finished in front, it looked like there was a massive sense of relief and excitement. So it's exciting for them. It was, you know, a disappointing end for us, but with the amount of young boys we had in on the night, to be in front deep into the game, we were still pretty happy, and able to obviously hopefully look after a few of our key players haven't already qualified, and, you know, our position couldn't change.
You did have a few star players out too. What's the status of a few of them? Blaine Wilson, Noah Strom, Chris Luff, Jason Maskos. Are they all likely to return?
They'll be all around the mark, yeah. So Noah will be pretty close. He should prove himself at training. He sort of trained towards the end of last week. Who else? The other three? Yeah, the other three will need to train this week. But everything points towards them being available. Zach Dent should be available as well, who's probably missed 4 or 5 weeks with an ankle, but trained partially last week. So, you know, he'll be around the mark as well. So might make for a long Thursday night.
You've done a really good job this year with the list that you've got, and you've introduced a lot of young players, and some of those young players are now becoming stars of the competition. Guys like Chad Pearson, who's becoming a really good waffle player, Caleb Datson, Jimmy Miller, Ben Rioli down from up there in the Northern Territory, Jake Florenka set the world on fire, and Zach Strom as well. So you're building a really good group that could stay together for a long time, and obviously getting a premiership certainly could help with that.
Yeah, look, I think it's been such an unusual year that, any time we sort of make a decision that any time anyone was a little bit sore that we wouldn't take a risk and we wouldn't play them. And because the risk was if, you know, they did play and had a serious injury, that the season for them was almost over. So that's probably given a lot more opportunity than, you know, may necessarily have been afforded in such a short season. But the great thing is all those young guys, most of them have been around the club for a year or two, and they were able to come in and play their role. So, yeah, we've played, I don't know, about maybe 30, 31 players through our 8 games and, got a bit of depth there. And, yeah, some of our younger guys who probably got opportunities last year Datson and Thompson and a few of those guys have really stood up. Jake Florenka have really grown into, you know, regular players for us, which is great. And then another sort of 7 or 8 debutants, so... the young guys have been really good. Our senior blokes have been, you know, pretty consistent as well. And, we're excited about, you know, what can come in the next couple of weeks.
Curl, speaking of a couple of those senior blokes, you played Hayden Schloyth for the most part forward, deep in attack, and it gave more responsibility in the midfield to Cade Stewart and Jacob Dragovich. Did you learn anything by the experiment, and is that something that you might look at as you're heading through the final series to, you know, maybe add a little bit more potency around the middle and up forward?
Look, we think we go pretty deep through the midfield. You know, Draggers and Florenka, obviously, probably the younger, and Kate's obviously still a young man as well. But, you know, with Subin and Schloyth and Verrier, Main, they can all go through there as well. We think we've got a bit of depth, but, on the weekend, we did go in with some plans that, we wanted to stick to, and the plans were made at training without the pressure of the game of guys that we really needed to probably get some midfield minutes into, and some guys that, if we could, we'd look after them a bit and hopefully keep them fresh for the, you know, this week and the weeks ahead. So, it's sometimes difficult. We're desperate obviously trying to win the game, but we're also trying to get a balance between, you know, a result on the weekend and also having our squad in really good shape, because the last couple of years we've sort of, the last 3 or 4 weeks leading into the season have, you know, we've been knocked around a fair bit. So we're keen to try and manage that as best we can, which is, you know, sometimes works and sometimes doesn't.
Todd, the Nick Subin influence has been profound. What are you expecting from him going forward? He's no doubt getting towards the back end of his career, and it's been a wonderful career at AFL, and he's done a great job for your football club. Do you expect him to keep playing?
Yeah, look, all the discussions we've had around next year is that he'll continue to play on. Look, he's been really good for us. Obviously, he's almost a coach out on the ground for us. Very experienced, very smart. So he can play, you know, half back, he can play wing, he can play inside, and he can sort of play that high half forward. So, look, he's been really important to us. Great fella, great bloke to have around the footy club. So, look, he's had a pretty strong year. So, you know, hopefully we finish off really well, and I'm pretty sure he'll go around next year, which would be fantastic for our young group.
What about Cam McCarthy? What's he been up to? Has he been training with you? And if he doesn't get an opportunity back at AFL level, do you expect him to be there next year?
Yeah, look, he's been pretty much down from, I think he sort of, once the decision was made, he had to go through a medical and all that sort of stuff before he could come and train. But, yeah, he's trained all our main sessions. He's been at the games and, you know, obviously great kid, full of enthusiasm. Got a lot of his mates that he sort of grew up and played underage footy with that are still at the footy club. And, you know, he's great to have around. So, look, we're really hopeful for him that he gets another chance at a higher level. But, if that doesn't happen, you know, we're pretty confident that we can get him back playing at South next year and enjoying his footy, and you know, it'd be fantastic for him. And it's just great to see him happy, to be honest. He's had a rough trot the last few years, and you know, he just wants to get back playing with his mates, I think, and we'd love to help him make that happen.
Speaking of mates, you've got a couple of the other WAFL finals combatants who you're going to have to beat, and that is Darren Harris and Jeff Valentine, who has coached West Perth into the finals, which is great news for your old club that you used to toil away for at West Perth. But Darren Harris this week, your enemies, and Clairmont, they've been some pretty impressive form themselves, mate, and we're going to have a chat to him shortly here on Sports Day. But it's nice to have the influence that you guys have had on the competition as a group. I'm sure you're still pretty close.
Yeah, obviously we've played a lot of footy and known each other, you know, pretty closely for a long time now. So, you know, 25 years this year since, you know, we beat you guys, Carl, in 95. So that's always a good memory for us. But, it doesn't matter what you do, I don't think. I think when you get the opportunity to come up against your mates, I think you're pretty keen to win. So I'm sure H and Rowie be in a similar situation whenever we come up against each other. So, look, they've been really consistent. Obviously, they had a really strong year. They're in the second semi and qualified second. We had a couple of tough battles with them towards the end of last year and, you know, another close one early this year. So, you know, we expect it'll be similar. It'd be nice if the margin was a little bit bigger. But generally, between our two teams, they're pretty close affairs. So, look, we look forward to the weekend. Both teams have obviously earned the right to get into the second semi, but we'll be keen to hopefully get the result our way and go straight through, and I'm sure they are too. So, look, I think it'll be a great game, and hopefully the weather's good and we get a lot of people there.
You got them by 8 points last time, Curls. They did kick 5-10. They did have more inside 50s on that occasion. But looking at some of their stars, Alec Waterman, no doubt a player that you need to stop, but who would you love to just shut out of the game?
Yeah, they're pretty. I think they're probably the strength, probably the big difference between probably last year and this year for them is I think they're a lot more even and don't rely on, you know, their star players. I think their backs have been really good, really even. Their mids are an even group that always seem to get the ball forward for them. And yeah, Waterman's had a great year, but you know, when Hamp was in and they're generally playing a couple of two or three talls, Tommy Lee's back in and, you know, they got some young terriers down there that really put on a lot of pressure as well. So I think they're a really tough team because when they play well, they're a really even team. So we'll have to be at our best. There's no doubt about that.
Nice to chat, mate. Good luck. Look forward to seeing what happens on the weekend down there at Fremantle Community Bank Oval on Sunday, 2:30. Thanks very much for having a chat to Hayes and I tonight.
No worries, boys. Anytime.
Good on you. Todd Curley here on Sports Day. And as I alluded to, we'll head inside the Claremont camp next with Darren Harris, their coach here on Sports. Welcome back to Sports Day. On the road. I think he's on the road too as we speak tonight for Dometic, Mobile Living Made Easy. We're joined by Claremont coach Darren Harris as we have a real good preview into the WAFL finals as we have done all week here on Sports Day. Welcome, Harrow.
G'day, Carl. How are you, mate? G'day, Harris.
Yeah, we're going good, mate. We're fresh like you. You've had a week off. You've been able to, I'm assume, have a look at your opposition, South Fremantle, who have been rolled for the first time. So they're beatable.
Yeah, it was an amazing weekend of footy. It was a rollercoaster ride for all of us. Who would have thought six teams would all be, all five teams would all be affected by the last round, but it was fantastic for the waffle and for people that love their waffle footy. So I've got no doubt that app would have been refreshed everywhere around WA. I know I kept refreshing it and I thought we were gone. We'll be playing Subi at one stage there, then I thought it was East Perth, then I thought it was Perth, and then we were lucky enough to scrape in by a point or so to play South Fremantle.
Yep, you got into second spot, which guarantees you the double chance. It was an amazing finish to the round. But you go in against South Fremantle in some good form. You beat West Perth last time out. And last time you played Souths, you dominated for a long period of the time. I think you kicked 5 goals, 10. You had 12 more inside 50. So you go in with a lot of confidence.
Yeah, I think South do that. They're very good defensively. They have a great structure. They've played a lot of footy together. And so they are hard to score against. We, 14 inside 50s to 2 in that first quarter, and to only kick a couple of goals was disappointing. But they do force you wide, so we just got to make sure our ball use is a little bit better and our structure's a bit better. But we match up pretty well. Having said that, they've beaten us the last four times, so they own us a bit at the moment, but we'll definitely get out and get after them.
One team had to have the bye the last round. Is it an advantage to have that to rest up before the finals? We see it with the AFL. Now they get a rest, or would you like that continuity going into the finals?
No, we were ready, mate, for a rest. We'd had three practice games, so an intra-club and a couple of practice games, and before that, we weren't quite sure on what was going to happen in the lead-in, so we were playing a bit of a Super 9 series. So we've played a lot of footy up until that bye, and I think it came right at the right time for us with a couple of injuries. And historically, we've been really good off the bye. So, it's a non-issue for us.
Who are the players you're talking about when it comes to your injuries, and how are they now, and are you going to be at full strength come the weekend?
Yeah, we've still got a bit of time. We won't make our final decisions until Saturday. There'll be a couple of fitness tests on Thursday night, but Kane Mitchell hurt his ankle and he's come good. He was able to train last night. Dylan Smallwood had a hamstring, and so he's been racing the clock, and he trained as well last night and got through really well. And Anton Hamp, had his legs taken out from underneath him against East Fremantle, and he also ran and did change of direction last night. So they're all a chance, but, with the fact that now we have a second chance, we won't be taking anyone in that's not 100%.
He's been a goal kicker too, hasn't he, Anton Hamp? And he's been a good foil for Alec Waterman, who I think Perth is the story of the year, making finals. But he's second, in my opinion, coming back from where he was with his illness. Good to see him happy. Good to see him kicking goals. And is he a chance to get another opportunity at the AFL level?
Oh, I'd take him. I reckon he's a star. I reckon he's at another level. And you're right, Anton Hamp, and those two, chemistry and the way they've worked together this year has been great. We needed to find something up forward that had been, we'd sort of built over the 3 years that I've been there from a defensive side to trying to add, I guess, the cherry on top with regards to the way we scored and the way we looked up forward. And those two blokes have been fantastic for us. It's great to see Alec healthy and well, and he's just loving his footy. His leadership's been great as well. He's been a great support for me. He really sees the game well and has a great understanding of it. So, hopefully Anton can get up and those two can continue that chemistry.
How have you seen the season of Jai Bolton? When we talk about Sandover medalists, is he a chance to win another one?
Oh, look, I think he's always a chance. He gets a lot of footy. He's an elite talent. There's no doubt about it. He had a little bit of a flat patch through the middle of the year, but his flat patch isn't down too far. So, but I reckon his last two, he's been back to his best. So, you know, whenever he joins in on our team defence, because he's offensively so good, our team benefits. And I just think his last 2 weeks have been a real step up, and probably a big reason why we had a really good win against West Perth as well.
What about South Fremantle looking at some of their stars? Who are some of the players you'd love to lock away and make sure they have disappointing days?
Look, you look at their side on you know, you put it on the whiteboard, and there's not too many gaps there. They're really even, but, you know, Big Higgins is the man. He's the one who gives them first use, and, you know, they kicked 8 goals in a quarter against East Perth after being challenged, and it was on the back of Brock, and, you know, they jump on the back of him, and you throw in Dylan Main and Shaw, and, you know, they've got some great leaders. Schloyth's just a gun. He's an A-grader. But it's the blokes like Dragovic, you know, Florenka. I'm not sure where he is injury-wise, but, you know, he's one of the highest possession getters in the competition, and you know, and don't underestimate how Cade Stewart hits the scoreboard too. He's a star. So yeah, they're good across all lines, mate.
They sure are, and they hadn't been undefeated until the weekend for nothing, and it's going to be an interesting game down there at Fremantle Community Bank Oval. It's a 2:30 start on Sunday, everyone, and we look forward to seeing you in action, Harrow. Thank you very much for sharing some time with us tonight here on Sports Day, mate, and all the best.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. Thanks again for having me on. Cheers.
Good on you. Darren Harris there, the Claremont coach, and take control of your outdoor adventures like never before with the Dometic CFX3. We'll clear a commitment, and on the other side we'll come back and we'll have a chat to Mark LeCraft for fishing and camping here on Sports. Welcome back to Sports Day, and it's nice to have Mark LeCraft on the program, Hayes. But before we do that, we just had a chat to the boys, Todd Curley and Darren Harris, and who's going to win between South Fremantle and Claremont, mate?
Well, I'm going with South Fremantle in a real close one, because Claremont came close in their first game, or their only game this season, but I think with Mason Shaw and Hayden Sloyth up front, I think they'll get the job. And I think, unfortunately for Perth, I think the emotion of it all might be too hard. And West Perth, let's be honest, they just missed second spot for a reason, and I think they'll be too good too, Carl.
All right. I tend to think that South Fremantle and West Perth will be getting the job done in the two matches in the WAFL. Mark LeCraft is online for Parkside Tow Bars. Tow with confidence this spring. Your old mob, West Perth, into another finals campaign, mate. And I don't know if you've rubbed shoulders that often with Jeff Valentine, but he's done pretty well.
Yeah, mate. It's actually funny. There's Jeff Valentine. Roy, he coached me in my first ever league game for the Falcons. So Harrow was back east. He was the coach at the time, and Rowie stepped in and coached my first ever game. And it's good to see Harrow up against Todd Curley, who also coached me at the Falcons. So yeah, a bit of a big weekend for that mob this weekend, mate.
Yeah, unbelievable, really. And we had a bit of a chat about the old mates playing off against each other. Mate, let's turn our attention to fishing and camping, and for Parkside Tow Bars, Perth's biggest range of tow bars. For more, parksidetowbars.com.au, where you can tow with confidence this spring. Mate, you've had a bloody good week when it comes to all the information you've been giving. They've come from here, there and everywhere. And an unbelievably big dewey, I think you got sent caught out of Mandra, is that right?
Yeah, I think it's from down Mandra. I got just sent the picture, and it's from a charter, but it was 24 kilos, or just nudging over 24 kilos. So when it comes to dewies, that is an absolute horse. I think the state record is 26 point something, so not far off there. As always, mate, the big dewies come from down around Mandra and Busselton and that sort of stuff. So southwest producing again, but some nice fish caught locally around Perth as well. Lanceland, a few nice demersals came from there with the usual Balching groper and jewfish as well, but jewies only to about 12 kilo there at the moment. That's a good one, but 24 kilo, mate, that's impressive.
Lecker, a few different species this week. We're headed towards Monkey Mia, some flathead that were caught, and also a lot of whiting up there, it looks like.
Yeah, mate, that's actually my parents snuck up there for a holiday this week and fished out a Monkey Mire. They just hired a boat from there, just a little dinghy, and headed out and absolutely cleaned up on the yellowfin whiting. Got some nice flathead as well, and had a few crab nets that they just sort of snuck along and pulled and got some nice crabs as well. So Shark Bay, you know, does have those awesome pelagic species and the, you know, the Rankin cod and all that sort of stuff way offshore. But if you're only going there, you know, for a holiday and you want to hire a boat or you've only got access to a tinny, you can catch some good bread and butter species as well. So plenty of people holidaying up there at the moment. I think the place is booked out for a long time. So plenty of options as well to get stuck into some fishing and catch a feed. There's always squid off the jetty there too.
Now, mate, I was down for the launch yesterday morning in Frio at Muse Road of Bob, Back of Boat Sales. That's what Bob is going to be known as in the crayfishing industry, because each of the professionals, which includes you, and the back of every trip that you go out, you're allowed to sell 100 crayfish direct to the public. Is that going to change much, you reckon, in the industry?
Oh, I think it'll be good for tourists. My brother's actually running it, the boat at the moment, so he might have to hang around a little bit longer at the jetty and sell a few crays off the back. But, I mean, there was a big sort of uproar a couple of years ago when the government tried to get in on the industry, and, you know, I think one thing that came out of it was that the locals want some more fresh crayfish, and the professional crayfishermen are only willing to do it. So it's good that now there is something in place where they can sell direct to the public with the quota system. Up until now, they've had to lock all their crays away in the crates and haven't been able to access them. So if you want crays, one thing I would say is after a long, hard day's work on the water, they'll be keen to get out of there. So make sure you get down there maybe the day before and say that you'd like to buy some crays the next day. So it's a great thing for WA fishery and for all the locals and everyone that wants to buy crays. I think you were getting them for maybe $20 each, were you, Carl?
Yeah, $20 each, mate. Yep.
Good deal.
Grumpy type, some of those cray fishermen. So get in early. But what about down south, mate? The freshwater fishing is starting to heat up a little bit.
Yeah, it's going to get better. So when the rain stops and the sort of the flow in the streams and that sort of slows down in the southwest, it's a good time to start going down there and trying to get some rainbow trout and some brown trout. You do need a license for it though, so maybe jump on the fisheries website and get one of those if you're looking to do some of that. But you know, you can pick some nice fish up on lures, all sorts of stuff, and it's a good day just walking the banks. So down Pemberton Way, Harvey, Waroona, all those spots are pretty good.
Brilliant, mate. Any other news that you need to tell us about tonight?
Oh, coming up into blue marlin season, mate, up in Exmouth. So that's when the huge fish will get caught. So next couple of months, things are going to really fire up there. So look forward to it.
Good on you, mate. Thank you very much for joining us tonight. Take care.
Cheers, guys.
Good on you, Mark LeCraft for Parkside Towbars, where you can tow with confidence this spring. We'll clear a commitment on the other side. We'll come back and tell you what happened on this day and what's coming up for the rest of the week here on 6PR. Now, we finish off with Baron O'Day's Green to Green. Baron O'Day, because the little things are everything. Isaiah Butters from Fremantle celebrates his 19th birthday today. Dennis Connor, born in San Diego, 78 today, American yachting skipper and four-time America's Cup champion. However, he was outsailed by our own Johnny Bertrand in 1983. I'll never forget that here in Australia. In Fremantle, for example, it was first time that the Americans had been rolled in 132 years. And it's Narrowly Meadows' birthday today. We've spoken to her a fair bit over the time. She started her career as a person on work experience, actually, in the 882 6PR studios back when she was here in WA. Born in Collie, she is 35 today. So happy birthday to you, Narrowly. And that is all we have time for tonight for Baron O'Day. Don't miss out on the little moments, because the little things are everything. Live footy tomorrow here on 6PR. West Coast take on North Melbourne. We'll be back on Monday after the game between Collingwood and Port Adelaide. Adam Papalia will join me. We'll have the live announcement of the finals program as that is announced by the AFL. Look forward to your company then.